Tom McDonald, welcome Chipper on his first Friday of vacation. Is that the case there, Tom?
Yeah, that'd be a fair assessment.
Okay.
For sure.
Are you still in your pajamas?
Uh-huh.
I have no comment on that.
Jealous.
So I watched this trailer of the movie The Breadwinner. The comments were a little brutal on it, Tom. I maybe get for clarification, but everyone in the comments, this was on the YouTube trailer, seemed annoyed that this was just another regurgitated hot take on men are, especially white men, are terrible at being men and fathers. And so now you're going to tell us.
It's like a Mr. Mom remake.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like the people were like, go see Mr. Mom. That was better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, this week there are two big releases. The Breadwinner is one, and that's what I'll be reviewing. The other one, which I hope to get to later, is, I hope to see it later and talk about it in the coming weeks, is Pressure, which is about Eisenhower's decision to go forward with D-Day, World War II. So maybe in the weeks to come, I'll get to that one. But we saw The Breadwinner last night, and one of the reasons why I opted for this is because, for local interests, for those of you who are in the know, with St. Michael High School and the Weber family, Faustin Weber, the former principal of St. Michael, his son, Aaron, who's an up-and-coming stand-up comedian, is in this movie. He's in one scene in the movie. Because he is good pals with Nate Bargatze, the lead and hottest stand-up comedian in the world right now.
Yeah.
So just a word to the wise, if you know Faustin or you know Aaron and you want to see this movie to see Aaron, you cannot be late.
Okay.
Because you will miss it. Because he is literally in the opening scene of the movie that is while the credits are still showing on the screen. So if you're even 30 seconds late to the film, you will miss Aaron's scene in the movie. So that's my big hot tip there. But this movie, there's been a lot of press about it. There's been Nate Bargatze, he's been doing all the talk shows and all of the promos and everything you can imagine to promote this film. He's even promoted it with something he calls the Nate Rate, which is they worked out a deal with theaters to make this film cheaper. And it is. It's about $5 cheaper than any other movie ticket in theaters across the country. Mm-hmm. And his whole idea was he wanted to make a film that whole families could go to, that the grandparents could go and the parents and the kids, and that the movie would be appropriate for literally all audiences.
I know. It's rated. It's only rated PG. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I honestly can't figure out why it's PG. Mm. Like, I can't come up with a reason why it would be PG rather than G. Mm-hmm. It's inoffensive. There's nothing, you could not find anything in here that would be offensive or inappropriate for anybody at all. I mean, it's a real throwback in that sense to the old live action Disney movies, like with Kurt Russell and things like that in the 60s. It's on that level of appropriateness. So, but before I get into the review of is it any good, just as a little bit of a backdrop, Nate Bargatze is, if you're not familiar with him, he is the indisputably the hottest stand-up comedian in the world right now. He has done, in the last few years, he's just skyrocketed to fame, which is funny because, nobody in stand-up comedy just appears out of nowhere. These guys grind it out for years and years and years. It's kind of like trying to make it in music or something. I mean, you got to grind it out and hope that eventually you catch fire and get noticed. So Nate's been doing stand-up comedy his entire adult life. And he's in his mid-40s at this point. And only in the last 5, 6, 8 years has he really gotten noticed. But he's had the biggest money-making tour, world tour. In the last couple of years, he's had his very well received Nateland podcast, of which Aaron Weber is a co-host or has been a co-host on that. He's released a book called Big Dumb Eyes, which is a lot of his comedy in book form. He's got a game show called The Greatest Average American. He's had several Netflix specials. He's hosted Saturday Night Live twice to very popular effect. And he's even talking about their plans in the work to open a Nashville theme park called Nateland. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, he's just, you name it, he's been doing it and has had great success doing it. And the reason I think that he's had such success is that he stands out from the crowd in this sense. He's very funny. Mm-hmm. He's got a very great deadpan delivery style. He's extremely self-deprecating. He's not taking shots at anybody. I mean, all of his humor is self-referential. It's very relatable stuff, very relatable dad and husband kind of comedy. And it's clean. It's absolutely 100% clean. So he's firing on all cylinders right now. And he's just a good guy. He's just a good, solid guy. So the next natural step was a movie. And the premise of the movie is, as you all were saying, it's kind of like Mr. Mom. His wife, played by Mandy Moore, is a stay-at-home mom. Nate plays a very successful Toyota car salesman. His wife invents a little fun device for her daughters that helps them keep track of their appointments and their chores and things, getting ready in the morning. And so this device, she ends up going on the TV show Shark Tank to pitch this little device, and the sharks go for it, make a deal with her to manufacture this, which means she's got to leave the home and work full time on marketing this device. And Nate has to step away from his job and stay at home with the three daughters and be a stay-at-home dad for a period of a few weeks while she goes on this whirlwind tour with her new Shark Tank device. So, and then, of course, the comedy comes from Nate. He's a good salesman, but he knows nothing about the household chore schedule and the appointment schedule and where everybody needs to go and when where their schools are and what their practice times are and cooking and doing laundry and all that. So, you know, he's completely inept at all these things. And through the process of creating total disaster, comes to realize how incredibly good his wife is at running the household. Mm-hmm. So now that premise should sound very appropriate and timely if it were like 1982, which is roughly when Mr. Mom came out, which had Michael Keaton, same premise. So it's the first thing that's odd about the movie is that premise. I mean, it really, Nate in his comedy presents himself as very inept and not that bright, which, you know, is all an act. But in the movie, it stretches it to the point of incredulity. I mean, there's no guy out there that is as inept as he portrays himself to be in this film. And that's where it becomes somewhat less relatable for me as a husband and dad. Gene Siskel, the great film critic Gene Siskel, years ago said, when he watches a movie, he has this test. Are the people in this movie smarter than the dumbest people I know in real life? And in order for it to be plausible, the lead characters have to be smarter than the dumbest people I know in life. And this movie fails that test. Nate's character is dumber than any dad that I know in this movie. Like, there's no dad who is as inept as this guy is in this film at running a household. Like, he doesn't know how to cook eggs, for example. I'm sorry, there's not a man who would not know how to cook. So that's a problem. And here, I was really thinking about this. And here's the issue. I see this happen again and again, where really good stand-up comics try to then do a movie, and the movie fails. Like, the most recent example was Sebastian Maniscalco. I reviewed his movie a couple years ago. He filmed it locally here in Mobile with Robert De Niro, and I went to see it, and the movie wasn't good. And the reason in the movie contains like this, their best stand-up bits brought to the screen. So you think, well, if it works so well in the stand-up routine, if the jokes are so funny in stand-up, why don't they work in a movie? And I think I figured out why. It's because it's not just that the content of the jokes is funny. It's half of it is the delivery. It's you know, everybody has funny stories to tell about life, but not everybody can be a stand-up comedian. It's because it's not enough to have a funny story from your real life, but you've got to have the timing and the delivery, and you got to know how to pause and wait for the laugh and leave, you know, just send that joke out there in the most effective way you can. And Nate is fantastic at that. So the issue is, when you do that, the audience is imagining this like horrible, embarrassing thing happening to this guy when he delivers the joke. You're playing it in your head, and it enhances the humor with the delivery. But when you take those same jokes and those same comic premises and you put it in a movie, you've removed the delivery entirely. Now the audience is just seeing the thing happen to the guy instead of the guy telling a story about the thing. And that's where it falls flat. That's where these movies often fall flat, is seeing it just doesn't carry the same punch as hearing the story told about it. Additionally, if you're a big fan of Nate Bargatze's comedy, which I am, I've heard all these jokes already. And so now seeing it acted out in a movie, it's not original anymore. Like, yeah, I remember he told a joke about, you know, the horse that ran loose that they thought was dead, you know, and now it's, you know, I'm seeing it. Well, it's not nothing new because I already heard this joke. So it's a hard hill to climb for these stand-up comedians. So I hate to say this, but this is my analogy. All right. This is the hardest kind of movie to review because it's not bad, but it's really not good.
Well, I think to your point, Tom, you're talking about his delivery. He seeded all of those elements that make it funny to watch him in person to props guys and directors and slapstick and over the top producers. And he loses control of the narrative. And that's why you just get not funny.
Yeah, I mean, that could be something to do with it. He wrote the movie, so he has a lot of control over the content and the pacing and all that stuff. But when we came out, Caroline's first reaction was, she said, that movie is sweet and cute and it's for everybody. And that's all true. I chuckled a couple times. It's not, you know, it's amusing. But it's like, I was thinking, how can I explain this? And it occurred to me, it's like this. If you're going to go out to dinner with like your spouse or a date, and you're going to go somewhere nice, like it's a nice night out, you're going to make reservations, you're going to go somewhere that's really known for having excellent steak or seafood or something, you're going to get dressed up, you're going to have a nice, high quality meal. But if you're going to take your family out to dinner, you're not going to go to that place because, number one, it's too expensive. And number two, the kids aren't going to appreciate the fancy food, right? Mm-hmm. So where do you go with your kids? You take them somewhere like CC's Pizza, all right? You go to CC's, and the reason you choose CC's is it's cheaper and everybody in the family will find something there that they can eat. No one's going to be off-put by CC's. But if you want like really good pizza, you're not going to CC's. Like, that's not where you get that. It is what it is. So this film is like that. The great upside of this film is, in a day and age where there's so much that's inappropriate, this is a movie that you can take the whole family to and not worry about it. Like, every single person in the family can go see this movie and no one's going to get offended. And it's everybody's going to find a little something that they like about it. It's going to be pleasant and amusing, but it's not going to get any Oscars. It's not going to be anybody's favorite movie of all time or anything remotely like that. It's got a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's with only 14 reviews. Mm. And it's only got 14. I mean, they only do that when they know the movie's not going to get well reviewed. It clearly hasn't been seen, previewed by reviewers. And they do that when they know it's going to get slammed. So, you know, I wanted this movie to be good. I wanted to really love it. And I didn't. But I will say, if you're looking for something to do with your family this summer, this would be something you can do with your family for sure. No doubt about it. And there will, your kids will like it. You know, there's funny humor in there for kids. So, you know, you could do a lot worse than taking your family to see The Breadwinner.
Mm. There you go.
All right. Well, we will see you tonight, hopefully. The McDonald's, both of them. Caroline, too. Yeah. Have a great
day. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Tom. See you tonight.
All right.
Dr. Gabriel Martinez is joining the show. Economics and Catholic Social Teaching. Ave Maria's got a free course you could take, and we'll dive into that next. Stay with us.